Many people, both young and old, face growing uncertainty about their faith. They have tough questions and growing doubts. Some have been attending church for years. They're pondering questions about church and faith. Is it really true? Is it relevant? Why keep going? Let's make room for questions and doubts and strengthen faith.
All righty, let me be the first to congratulate you all today on perfect attendance so far in 2025 for church. You're doing awesome. See how long you can kick that up. Obviously, from what you just saw there, we've got a new series that is going to start next week. It's called Room for Doubt. And we're starting the new year this way really for two reasons. First of all, because January seems to be the time when people decide to either, you know, come back to church maybe again or maybe give it a try for the first time. And they may be bringing with them some faith questions that they'd like answered. But also because some of you might actually know someone who's kind of been on the fringe of faith. And you could actually invite them here into a space that is intended to allow some room for doubt. And here's the topics we're going to be looking at. Number one, is it normal to have doubts? Number two, is God really necessary? Number three, isn't the Bible full of a lot of myths and mistakes? Number four, why is Jesus such a big deal? And then the last one, why would God allow tragedy and suffering? A lot of those things that really cause some people concern and some doubts. And so welcome to Academy Christian Church. We're so glad you're with us on this first Sunday of the year, whether you're here in person, whether you're joining us online or over at our Westside campus. We're so glad that we get to be a part of this. And as we set out on this new year, 2025, I hope you're ready for your next trip around the sun. We're going to make another loop. Because ready or not, here we go. And honestly, again, it's going to go by quickly. Just like happened last year, 11 months from now, when we hit December and Christmas is right around the corner, we're all going to be saying once again, wow, where did the year go? Well, it is another new year, and I'm really glad that we have a chance to start a new one. But we should remember that it's just the beginning of another cycle that has been repeated over and over again for centuries and millenniums. Which is why today I'd like to take a moment as we are launching into the new year to encourage every one of us to consider how we're going to invest the next 360 days, because we've already used five of them, so that we intentionally end up in a better space and a better place than we are today. And honestly, that's not going to happen by accident. It's going to happen because you and I are intentional. And I'm pretty sure that most of the things I'm going to talk about today, it's not going to be anything new for anybody. It's stuff you already know. But I do know this, that if you don't keep these thoughts in the forefront of your mind, it can be pretty easy along the year to kind of lose perspective. I also want to let you know that today is not going to be about guilt trips or manipulation. I want it to be about encouragement. Because the first thing I hope that we can all recognize is that life is not an obligation. Life is a gift. But if you're like me, you may find yourself saying all the time, oh, I have to do this and I have to do that without even thinking about it. And it almost like it happens naturally. And we don't necessarily mean anything by it. We're simply stating that there's something that we need to do. But what that subconsciously creates is a sense of obligation. And isn't that kind of how it feels when you stop and you think about it? We're obligated to do this or that. And while that may be true, that does not put us in the best frame of mind. I mean, drudging through the day, going from one obligatory task to the next, isn't exactly a fulfilling life. But when you begin to shift your perspective and start framing as you get to do things, like you get to live this life, it's a game changer. It's a reminder that life is a gift that you have been given and over which you have the greatest determination for how it's going to turn out or what you make of it. And one of the most empowering realizations is this perspective that allows us to replace have-tos with get-tos. And when you change that from have-to to get-to, this is what you'll have now. I get to go to work today. I get to help the customer. I get to take my kids to soccer practice. I get to take out the garbage. I get to go to church. And honestly, when you say it like that, it just creates a greater sense of possibility and confidence and appreciation. And I'd have to say that we're really probably going to need some of that as we head into this next year. Which honestly, if it's just like last year, it will have its shares of joy and celebration, but also probably a good share of difficulties and challenges and frustrations. And I'm starting off this year like this because the second part of that equation, the difficulties and challenges and frustrations, can sometimes make remaining a Christ follower more of a challenge. Years ago, fortunately, I read a great book by Eugene Peterson, and the title was A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. And I was a much younger Christian at the time. Now I've had enough time to experience it. And it kind of gets the idea, if we're going to follow Christ, it's a long obedience in the same direction. And of course, now I've been a Christ follower for 54 years. And I've learned that following Christ really is a long obedience in the same direction. And the longer I live, the more I also truly understand that new, it's nice, but the newness doesn't last very long. Have you kind of noticed that? I mean, whether it's a new car or a new carpet or the fit luster and new look of new clothes, because as you well know, the new is pretty much a short-lived novelty. And I had to figure out some way to work this in, and it just seemed to fit. And so I got to share with you today, our youngest son and his wife are expecting something new. Their first child in March. And they're so excited that this new baby is going to be born, and so are we. But can you guess what my excitement is tempered by, having had three children of my own? My excitement is tempered by reality. Because I know it's not going to take very long for the newness of that baby to wear off. Especially after that little baby girl has to be constantly fed and diapered and held nearly round the clock for the first few weeks. And that's just the beginning of the challenges that they'll be navigating through for a number of years, amidst also the joys and the celebrations. And of course, really, there is nothing wrong with new. In fact, God is kind of the author of newness, and he likes to create new things. And since we're talking today about our faith journey, if you are already a Christ follower, then I hope you experience the incredible sense of newness that marks the beginning of a life in Christ. And Paul actually writes about that in 2 Corinthians 5:17. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, a new creation has come. The old has gone and the new is here. And while there's really nothing more exciting than the faith of a new believer in Christ, I think what we soon discover is that while we might be new, we are still living in the same old world. And that's why I appreciate the honesty of the Apostle Paul, who acknowledged that even though in Christ he might be a new creation, he still experienced some of the same old, same old. And he actually talks about that in Romans chapter 7, verse 1, where he says, so I find this law at work, although I want to do good, actually evil is right there with me. Have you noticed that? And I think that's why the longer that you are a Christ follower, the more you probably resonate with the idea that it's really easier to become a Christian than it is to be one, over the long haul especially. And I actually think that's what Jesus was getting at when one day in his teaching he shared this agricultural illustration about a farmer planting his crops. And back then, of course, they didn't have fancy farm equipment like we do today, which meant they had to do it all by hand, including the planting of seeds. And so in Jesus' story, as the farmer throws out the seed, It ends up landing on several different kinds of soil, and one of them is described as rocky soil, rocky ground. And even though the seed got off to a good start, the plants, they didn't make it when the conditions got a little too harsh. And after sharing that story, when Jesus was asked about its meaning, the explanation that he gave went something like this in Matthew chapter 13. He said, "The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy, probably because it's such good news. But since they have no root, they haven't put down any roots. They only last a short time. And when trouble or persecution or difficulties come, they quickly fall away." And when I read that story, it's just another reminder to me that our faith journey really is a long obedience in the same direction. And that's why what I want to do today is recommend several verses as kind of a theme for us for 2025. And they're found in the book of Hebrews, in the chapter that follows Hebrews 11. Which is kind of the Bible Hall of Faith. It's the faith chapter where we hear about some of the most well-known God followers who chose to stay the course and be faithful through some of the most difficult circumstances. And what I would want to encourage you to do is to spend some few moments this week reading Hebrews chapter 11 to get faith-filled, but then connecting it to the first three verses in Romans chapter, or in Hebrews chapter 12. And that's where we're going to go right now, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. And notice he's making a transition, so he starts out with that word, therefore. He just shared about all of those people. He said, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Now, I love the imagery of this passage. I kind of resonate with it, and I hope you do too. And it starts with this great cloud of witnesses, many of which I'm guessing he identified in the previous chapter. So many men and women who lived by faith and who were faithful to the end, and they finished the race. And it appears to the writer of Hebrews that he believes that those who finished the race are actually up there cheering us on. They're saying, "It's worth it. Keep going. Don't give up. Don't quit." And then notice it talks about throwing off everything that's hindering you in your faith journey. And then running with perseverance the race marked out for us while fixing our eyes on Jesus, our amazing inspiration and example. And so when you hear those verses today, let me ask, do they speak to you personally in any way? Are they revealing something to you that you'd say, "You know what, I probably need to do that," or I might need to stop doing that," or can you identify anything that you maybe need to let go of? And for those of you, I just want to say, who are on the lower end of the age spectrum, it's even more important for you, because the decisions you make now, the direction you start to head your life down the road, has incredible implications. And if you get a great start, it's going to lead to much better things. And so as we start this new year, I just want to offer real simply three recommendations, encourage you to step into some spiritual disciplines, and then we'll be done with Sunday number one this year. So my first recommendation to you would be, instead of resolutions, make commitments. And Lindsay talked a little bit about resolutions. And why does anyone ever consider making a New Year's resolution? It would probably be because they've recognized that they actually haven't become the best version of themselves. Probably could use some improvement. And so I went and looked, and you know some of the top New Year's resolutions in the United States this year? Can you guess what they were? Eating healthier, exercising more, losing weight, saving more money, and spending more time with family and friends. I wasn't surprised at all, but almost half of those polled said they weren't making any New Year's resolutions, and for good reasons. I mean, most resolutions don't really resolve anything, and they're quickly abandoned after the first few weeks, right, of the new year. If you want to read a good book this year, not a Christian book, but it's got some good principles, James Clear wrote a book called Atomic Habits. And I want you to notice what he says in his book. He says, your habits, are often a byproduct of convenience. Humans are wired to seek the path of least resistance, which means the most convenient option is often the one that wins. And if you think about it, New Year's resolutions are usually things that would be helpful, but that we really aren't that committed to. And then we discover they certainly are not the path of least resistance. They're more work than we bargained for, which is why we really, really need to start with commitment. But I would encourage you, before you make any commitment, you make sure you understand why behind that and that you have actually counted the cost. If there's anything we've learned about human motivation, it's that it really is important to start with why, because why makes a huge difference. Now, spoiler alert, I'm going to give you something that I'm actually going to be talking about later in the message, because I'm going to be encouraging you. Can you imagine on the first Sunday of the year that you would read the Bible more regularly this year? Imagine that. So why should you be reading the Bible? And some of you think, well, because it's the right thing to do. Maybe it's because God expects me to. Maybe it's because Brian keeps harping on it. I mean, like every year he keeps bringing it up. And I'm going to, because what we know is on average in this country, only about 10% of regular churchgoers read their Bible on a regular basis. 10%, 1 in 10. Now, I think we actually do better as an average than that, but you guys are usually exceptional in those areas. But there are many who are under the assumption that maybe I need to read the Bible in order for God to love me. But I would honestly say that's not why you should read the Bible. I don't read the Bible so that God will love me. I read the Bible, you know why? Because I want to understand more about God and love God more. And when I understand the why, honestly, it changes the have to I get to read the Bible. And so know why before you make the commitment. But you can't really make the commitment until you've really counted the cost. Because like I like to ask, hey, is the juice going to be worth the squeeze? Because if you're going to follow through, there's going to be some squeeze. And it's interesting because in Luke 14, Jesus actually gives some examples of the importance of counting the cost before one decides to follow Christ. And he uses his languages there like, hey, you need to estimate the cost. You need to be sure whether you are able to finish. Now, you know, even after you've made a commitment, you got to know that you're not going to be able to do it perfectly. I mean, you're going to make some mistakes. And the good news is you don't have to do it perfectly. In fact, I want to see a show of hands today, please. How many of you here have ever failed at something? How many have ever failed at something? I want to wait until every hand goes up because you know what? I know every one of us have failed. I want you to see today that you are in good company. But you need to recognize just because you failed at something, that doesn't make you a failure. And I really believe this. Failure is an event that Satan would like you to take on as an identity. And the reason for that is because he knows when you do, that then it can become an excuse that you use for not even trying. But failure's just an event that God's willing to forgive. You know, we know this because one of my favorite verses is Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. Somebody wrote a great hymn from this verse. And it says, because of the Lord's great love, we're not consumed. For his compassions, his mercy, his love, his grace, it never fails. They're what? New every morning. You get a fresh dose. And so one of the things that I've actually started to do this year, just to help me grow spiritually a little bit and challenge me, if you ever heard of Bob Goff, he's a great author, just a funny guy, but very insightful. And he's actually written a devotion that has 365 devotions. And I was starting to read through it, and I noticed what Bob said. I loved it. He says, God hopes we'll develop a greater fear of inaction than of failure. Because when we fear failure, we're probably just going to be inactive even more and more. So make commitments, not resolutions. The second recommendation I would have to be, expect obstacles, distractions, and opposition. It's not just going to roll easily. Being a Christ follower does not lead to a problem-free life. And Jesus made that pretty clear in John 16, verse 33. He said, I've told you these things so that in me you can have peace. Sorry, in this world, you're going to have trouble. And in case you haven't noticed, life always seems to be trying to kind of push us out of balance. We kind of get some equilibrium, things are going on pretty well, and then something comes along and either distracts us or messes us up, and we kind of get just out of sorts. And what's interesting, when Jesus was talking about seed falling on different kinds of soil, he said that there was a soil that really got distracted. In Luke 8, he said, the seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries and riches and pleasures. And so what happens? They don't mature. And then finally, the final recommendation would be, you're going to have to pursue your spiritual growth, and then you're going to have to persevere along with it. If it's hard enough to pursue, you're going to have to also persevere. Notice in Hebrews, where we read, it says, let us run. And when you run, you are usually in pursuit of something, whether it's a finish line or some kind of a fitness goal. Now, some of you here today might be in the pre-Christ follower category. And if you are, I am praying for you that you would be able to take that step of faith, because honestly, it has eternal implications. But you know, once you do make that decision, that does not mean you have arrived. It actually means you're just getting started, and that now you need to start pursuing growing in Christ. The Apostle Peter, when he was writing his second letter to some Christians, he makes a statement. He says, God has given you everything you need for life and godliness. Oh, God's given me everything I need. But then he follows that up right away and says, for this very reason, you are going to have to make every effort to add to your faith. And then there's a long list of things that you need to pursue as a Christ follower. In other words, he's saying you need to practice some healthy rhythms and stick to them. And we're going to talk about those in just a moment. See, you don't need much perseverance when you're running a sprint. It's over quick, and that's awesome. But it's the marathons that are a killer. Now, I know some of you here are really true marathoners in faith. And so I'd like to have a show of hands. How many of you have been a Christ follower for less than 5 years? Anybody here? Less than 5 years? Just in the last 5 years? Okay, good. Some of you, thank you for making that step. How many of you have been a Christ follower for 5 to 25 years? Probably more like that. How many of you over 25 years? All right, there we go. That's where you're finally getting kind of to the marathon stage. And that's when we got to have some perseverance. Perseverance is not giving up even when life is looking down. And that's why we're instructed there in Hebrews to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. You know, many of you have probably heard that Jesus actually could walk on water. And the night that he did, if you remember, one of his followers also got to walk on water, had the same opportunity. Who was that? The Apostle Peter. And Peter had a good start, and he probably would have been okay if he had kept his eyes focused on Jesus. But you know what it says in Matthew 14? It says he was out there walking on the water, and when he saw the wind, in other words, I'm quit looking at Jesus, I'm starting to look at my circumstances, he was afraid and began to sink. And of course, he cried out, Lord, save me. And Jesus obviously reached down his hand and caught him. And I say that because I want to tell you, whenever you get that sinking feeling in your life, wow, I think I'm going under. Everything's overwhelming me. It's likely because you're more focused on the circumstances around you than you are focused on the Savior who is over you, above you, protecting you. Because in John 16, where we read earlier, remember it says, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you're going to have trouble. And then he says right after that, but you got to take heart because I have overcome the world. Keep your eyes focused on me. Now, since we're starting a new year, it's always a good time to kind of review and evaluate whether the rhythms, the spiritual rhythms that you have in place, are getting you where you want to be. And you need to be asking yourself in times like this, hey, how's this working for me? Is it good or bad? Is it going nowhere or anything? Because you know that if you always do what you've always done, you're going to always get what you've always gotten. And so as we wrap this up, let me just remind you that a healthy spiritual rhythm for life is going to include some very basic things. And just like there are basic things necessary for your, you know, your physical health, diet and exercise and rest, there is some things that will allow you really to have more strength and stamina in your faith journey. And remember, life is not an obligation, it's a gift. And so think that the perspective that you need is get to rather than have to. And so here are some of the ways that you can put down some solid roots spiritually so that you don't fall away when the going gets tough, and it will get tough. The first one, obviously you're going to know this, a connection with God through his word and prayer. Now, you're going to get that if you show up on Sundays, but there needs to be something happening during the week. And the communication cycle that God has provided for us is his word and prayer so that we get to hear from him through his word. And then we also have the opportunity to communicate with him through prayer. I don't know of any Christ followers who are saying, I'm spending way too much time in the Bible, way too much time in prayer. I'm overwhelmed by all the time I'm spending. But you know what? I've found the Bible is full of grace and truth. And I need both. And it helps me understand God and myself and the world we live in. But for God's word, we know this, for God's word to have any significant impact on how you live, you need to be spending time in God's word at least 4 days a week. Doesn't have to be every day, but at least 4 days a week. 3 doesn't count. It's got to be 4. But you know, sadly, over 80% of Christian Americans only read their Bible on Sundays when they're in church. And you all read it today, so you got 1 day down. But and often, what I found, the reason people don't read the Bible is simply because they don't have a plan. And when you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And if you don't have a Bible reading plan, there's plenty available online. You can find them. If you have the Bible YouVersion app, they've got all sorts of reading plans for free. At least 4 days a week. Now's the time to start. And after you've heard from God, you're going to need to talk to him about your life. And what I figured out is I'm going to be a student of prayer really the rest of my life because I've been a Christ follower a long time, but sometimes I feel like a noob when it comes to prayer. I also have a hard time concentrating. Anybody can relate to that? And so I've noticed that I need prayer lists. I've learned to make lists of things that I want to remember to pray about, as well as people that I want to be praying for. But again, even though I really do have to pray, the way I think about it is, hey, I actually get to pray. Secondly, you need to have a connection with God's people in community. And this is an excellent time because we've just got all those Connect Group booklets out there. Would encourage you to pick one up. An important design of God's plan for faith is that it needs to be a team sport. And yeah, it can be a little bit uncomfortable and kind of mess with your schedule, but it's worth it. Diane and I recently joined a small group, and again, as it has before, it makes all the difference. And if you need some help, would encourage you to get plugged in. Dave would love to help you with that. And then number 3, a connection with God's mission in service. Make sure that you're there. And if you don't have a place where you're serving in church, you need to be giving back just as you're receiving. You email the church, let us know, I want to serve, and we'll sign you up. Okay, I've talked way too much, and now it's going to be your turn. We're not going to close like we normally do with the song. And part of it is because we're starting the new year, and if it works terrible, I won't do it the rest of the year. But what I know is impression without expression leads to depression. It can lead to depression. I would hope God stirred something up in your heart thinking, you know what, I ought to be doing something like this or this or this. And I want you to verbalize that or talk to somebody about that. So many of you came, you know, with spouses, with parents, with kids, with family. You might be sitting by yourself. You're not by yourself. Wherever you are, even if you're alone, God's with you. And if you want to, you can just have a conversation with God. But for the next few moments, we're not going to hurry. I want you to turn to the person next to you, the people that you're sitting with, and just say, you know what? I really feel like in 2025, this is something I need to start doing spiritually. And some of you, maybe you don't have great spiritual conversations with your spouse. This would be a great way to start that. And so go ahead. You can talk all you want for the next few minutes. And I'll come back and we'll pray when we're done. So go ahead. Go ahead. What are you going to do? I hope you started a conversation that you could kind of take through the rest of the day. And I waited to pray until the end, because if you're having a great conversation, usually the only way to get a crowd to stop talking is to say, and now it's time to pray. And I know that works. And so now it's time to pray. And so let's go ahead and wrap up today. Father, we're so thankful that you love us, that you have pursued in so many amazing ways a relationship with us. The greatest of which is just the fact that you sent your son, Jesus, so that he could cover our sin and allow us to be in a love relationship with you. But God, we get so caught up in the world and the busyness and our work and our schedules and our friends and social media and the news and all the things that grab our attention. God, I would pray in 2025 that you would grab our attention, that you would capture our attention, and that we'd just take some time to be in your word and to talk to you in prayer, to be around other people who are also on a faith journey, and to find a place to serve so that we can make our lives here on earth matter for eternity. God, guide us and lead us there, please, in this new year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.